open season on loyal, decent, hardworking, honorable folks. Open season because the trash knows it's being taken out. And so the trash is fighting for its political, cultural, and spiritual life. And its life is culturally ruling us.
Never before in American history had a president called for a crowd to come contest the counting of electoral votes by Congress or engaged in any effort designed to influence, delay, or obstruct the joint session of Congress in doing its work required by our Constitution and the Electoral Count Act.
I have an objection because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified because they violated Florida's prohibition against dual office holders.
Debate is out of order.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
They're telling you they're going to create civil war conditions and not let him be seated as the president. Everything they accused him of, they're now doing, showing their total desperation. This guy's father was a famous communist.
Last night, I was most worried about the Supreme Court's prospective imminent abdication of its very clear duty to disqualify Donald Trump from the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and what that might mean if their decision says that it's really up to Congress on January 5th or January 6th, 2025, to disqualify him at the counting of the Electoral College votes, which really could lead to something akin to civil war, if that's what the suggestion is, which is what I think I heard.
Jamie Raskin has the balls, and I'm sorry to be crass, he has the balls and the audacity to judge the Supreme Court as not having a very big workload. This is a congressman judging the Supreme Court. They don't hear that many cases. They don't have that much of a workload. So there's no reason why they didn't do their job. This is the most judgmental, disrespectful conduct to the Supreme Court justices imaginable. And when Trump goes out and criticizes a judge, it's insurrection through judicial insult. But when Jamie Raskin does it, when Jamie Raskin says it's going to be civil war conditions because we are not going to respect the outcome of the election, well, that's just fine because it's different, capital D, different Democrats. And remember, they said Donald Trump will never relinquish power if he ever gets reelected. He relinquished power the first time. They call him a Hitler-esque tyrant. He was banned from social media. They are accusing Trump of potentially doing, if he ever ascends to power, what they are predicting they are going to do right now. Donald Trump, if he ever gets back in power, he's going to persecute his political adversaries. He's going to put them in jail. That's literally what they are trying to do to him right now.
We're looking at perhaps the guiltiest president that there's ever been. The question is whether we're going to stand up and defend our constitutional order or we're going to let him get away with this. This president essentially has tried to pull the wool over America's eyes. But the defense of democracy begins with fidelity to the truth and the oversight Democrats, America's truth squad against this disinformation, is here today to set the record straight.
I'm here today because I'm a patriot and I'm a truth teller. We keep hearing from certain corners that our democracy is at risk and democracy is on the ballot in 24. Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell
it
more
all
lies.
Begins Hunter tomorrow. The real combat, the real campaign for who is going to own the future of America. This edition of Raskin the Traitor on InfoWars. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Stay with us.
Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it,
It took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now, Ultimate CMOS, at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate CMOS gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
The power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal coming to you live this Monday morning, the day before Election Day. And really, it feels like Election Day is stretched out into Election Week in the same type of, horse race mentality that usually happens on first Tuesday of November is instead stretched out for the week or two before. At this point, there's some very strange occurrences taking place, some showing that in early voting, Democrats have the lead in Texas. A lot of concern about the female vote, women outvoting men pretty significantly in this election. Over the weekend, there was a lot of concern about the state of Iowa, which was sort of seen as a not necessarily a lock for Trump, but certainly one that he had to and was likely going to win. The numbers in Iowa are not particularly friendly to Donald Trump, and reports on the ground say that's because of the abortion issue. Women are going out to vote for abortion. James Kirkpatrick on X today made the point, and I think he's exactly right, that if Roe versus Wade was never overturned, it would be a landslide like all 50 states for Trump. The fact that abortion became a topic in this election is because of Donald Trump's Supreme Court picks. And it's kind of the classic, like, no good deed goes unpunished, right? That Donald Trump, his actions, his choices for Supreme Court got Roe versus Wade overturned, which is what abortion activists would have wanted forever. And yet the abortion activists are against Trump because he's not actually focused on abortion and basically encouraging 30 plus million Christians not to vote because he doesn't sufficiently oppose abortion. He just sent it back to the states. Whereas this also galvanized and activated the entirety of the Democratic ranks to get on this. It's absurd. It's completely absurd that the fate of our nation may be one of just total death and destruction and chaos because women want to kill their babies. It really is sick. It really, really is very, very sick. And we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff in this hour, including Peanut the Squirrel, including a bombshell revelation that Daniel Penny, who is currently on trial for murder, may face life in prison, never actually killed the guy that he's accused of murdering. The man was alive and breathing with a heartbeat when he was handed off to police, only to later die. And yet, Daniel Penny is on trial right now. And we're also going to talk again more about the potential coup that the Democrats have planned in case Trump does win. But I want to take your calls on all of these topics. We'll go to as many as possible. Give us a call now. The number to dial is 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call here on American Journal. Let's go here to clip number four, because we started this hour with the Bound Report, the sedition of Raskin the traitor. It's not just Raskin. It's Raskin and Norm Eisen and Mark Elias and a number of other bigwigs in the Democratic Party who are putting things in place. And we covered the story last week, 175, you know, military people and media heads all got together and did sort of a election version of Event 201, where they planned out the response and planned out the coordinated efforts that would be taken should something like a contested election come up. Just like they held Event 201 a month before a disease broke out, exactly like they said it would. And just like in Event 201, I can pretty much guarantee you that the majority of the discussion taking place at the George Soros funded, you know, election violence simulation get togethers, almost all of it was about coordinating messaging in the media. If you watch Event 201, they don't talk about making vaccines. They don't talk about shutting down ports to limit transmission. They didn't talk about, you know, ulterior methods of killing the disease. They talked about messaging. They talked about how to get the mainstream media coordinated together and saying the same message. They talked about how to uplift and highlight the testimony of so-called experts that would support the system while demonizing and making practically illegal the opposing view. That's what they talk about, because they understand that it is an information war. And if you can control the messaging and control the information that people are hearing, then you control the battlefield. So let's go to clip number four here. This is Mike Binns being asked about this coup coordination planning group taking place. Let's watch.
I wanted to ask you about the election and the certification of the Electoral College. Detail what your prediction is and why you think that this will happen.
Well, my prediction is they're going to try it. November 5th, we've got the vote. January 6th, we have the certification of the vote. There's a group that are calling themselves the State Democracy Defenders. This is Norm Eisen, the legal hatchet man for all of this. The guy who drafted 10 articles of impeachment for Trump his first year in office. He's teamed up with Jamie Raskin. Jamie Raskin has said publicly that it doesn't matter who people vote for in November. It doesn't matter. Trump can win 350 electoral votes. It doesn't matter, because Congress, under Raskin's initiative, is going to not certify a Trump Electoral College victory, because they will cancel out the Electoral College votes. They'll nullify Donald Trump at the 11th hour, 2 weeks before inauguration, on January 6, 2025, by citing Article 3 of the 14th Amendment to argue that Trump is an insurrectionist, and so he's therefore disqualified from holding office.
Yeah, we know they're not just going to accept it quietly. We know they're not going to concede defeat, because as we've been discussing this show, they are relentless hypocrites. So obviously they're going to do the thing that they have been calling an insurrection by claiming that Trump was an insurrectionist to question the election, the thing that they are calling an insurrection. It's all very stupid, but it's the Democrats, so what do you expect? And also last week, we spent a long time telling you about Jocelyn Benson, Secretary of State of Michigan, and the way that she has openly bragged that she and the other secretaries of state of the other swing states had been working together to destroy and, you know, coordinating to overwhelm the Republicans' attempts to have a fair election. This is what I would consider a criminal conspiracy. But she's still in office, and we're already seeing the fruits of their labor. And now, from the Washington Examiner, judges are saying Michigan's Secretary of State is a threat to democracy. For many voters, protecting democracy is a key issue in the 2024 election. And, of course, rhetoric and accusations are flying regardless of who the actual threat to democracy is. In light of, at times, misleading rhetoric, it's important to examine actual facts. There is one public official nationally who has been criticized by no fewer than three U.S. Court of Appeals judges in the past month for her actions subverting democracy, and that's Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson. Benson has had two separate complaints filed against her with the Michigan bar in recent weeks, one from former Michigan Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, focused on Benson's dishonest court pleadings, and another from Michigan Republican Party Chairman Pete Hoekstra regarding Benson's large campaign contribution to Michigan Supreme Court Justice Kyra Bolden. And Bolden was considering a case against Benson at her court. Michigan Attorney Grievance Commission is reviewing those complaints, and Benson's defenders will no doubt rationalize them. Excuse me. By arguing that they're filed by Benson's partisan opponents, getting past the partisan back and forth is why it's so significant. When a senior judge from the Sixth Court of Appeals, David McKeegi, concluded in his judicial opinion that in defiance of the U.S. Constitution and state election law, Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson manipulated the presidential ballot in Michigan. There has been consistent nonpartisan criticism of Benson's administration of elections, and I have personally been involved in three successful lawsuits in the past months that have resulted in multiple Michigan state judges forcing Benson to bring her instructions to local clerks and election officials into conformance with Michigan election law. Perhaps most egregious on that front has been Benson's persistent efforts to undercut the verification of signatures on absentee ballots. Fortunately, courts consistently have stood up to her and told her the law must be followed and signatures verified. This is why I don't kid. And I've said forever, like, we got to have something that's like attempted tyranny. Like, how do they just get away with it over and over and over again? So we're just constantly dealing with the same people doing the same fraudulent sort of things. And there's no punishment mechanism. So, you know, they just come in and, you know, whatever she does, this guy's writing about the three lawsuits they've had to file against her because she just arbitrarily changes the law. Changes the rules, instructs the people holding the elections to violate the law, and then the Republicans have to come in. First, they have to find out about it. Somebody has to report it. That has to get to the right person. That person has to file a case. The case has to go be argued in front of a judge. Finally, the decision is made. Yes, Benson is violating the law. She is trying to undercut the legitimacy of the elections. So her orders are revoked. The law is then followed. And they have to do this three different times in three separate cases. And she just does it again. She just keeps doing it. So, like, at what point does this person not get to be in charge anymore? When she's out there on camera, on national television, saying, and because this is what she's talking about, by the way, when she's sitting there going, yes, the six swing state secretaries of state and myself, we've all been coordinating behind the scenes to deal with the assaults against democracy that are happening, these lawfare attempts by Trump Republicans. Like, this is what they're talking about. They're coordinating and working together with their big money donors, with the, you know, high powered lawyers, all working together, law firms working together to undercut the legitimacy of the elections and then fight those out in court and waste time and money to just try to get them to just stop violating the law over and over and over again. It's infuriating. Benson's behavior towards former presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy is what caused the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Chad Riedler to say that, quote, without explanation and in violation of state law, Benson added Kennedy's name to the 2024 general election ballot. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Emil Thapar summed up that Benson's, quote, reinstatement of Kennedy on the ballot unconstitutionally compels Kennedy's speech and violates Michigan's own deadlines. It also forces Kennedy to be on the ballot for an office that he no longer intends to hold if he were to win. And it has the unfortunate result of misleading Michigan voters. Thapar notes that Benson's lawless behavior, quote, happens at a time when it's crucial for state governments to assure voters of the integrity of their elections. In the long history of losing candidates challenging the results of their election, four in the past six losing presidential candidates have done so. It's critical that voters have confidence in the integrity of their election administrators, which is difficult when, as McKeegi explained, quote, the case involves yet another attempt by a state election official to influence the upcoming presidential election by manipulating state election procedures. So, suffice it to say, long story short, we've got people in positions of power that have been placed there by design by a gigantic consortium of left-wing terrorist subversive elements with billions of dollars at disposal, at their disposal, to undermine American elections, both nationally and at the local level, to interfere with and rig elections for their preferred candidates, who all universally and as one violate the law, destroy the Constitution, impose their own will on the citizens, and completely disregard the genuine outcome of elections to instead just do what they want and what will benefit their so-called movement. So these people have to be punished. They have to go to jail. They have to be made an example of, not just Jocelyn Benson and all of the secretaries of state who have clearly, deliberately, and in coordination conspired to undermine our elections, but also their funders, also the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, where all of these people got their start. Is that just a coincidence? All of these people start in exactly the same office, doing exactly the same job, and they're all funneled deliberately into positions as secretaries of state, not because they're the best qualified for the position, but because they are ready, willing, able, and proud about the fact that they can then use their position to rig the election for the Democrats. I mean, this is existential at this point. And so basically it's like, either America dies, whatever you want to call it, our republic, our democracy, the ability of a people to govern themselves, of self-governance in whatever form that takes, that can just be eradicated. That'll be eradicated. That'll be gone. We'll be flooded by tens of millions of illegals. Lawlessness will just run rife, except, of course, unless you violate some arbitrary local regulation, in which case, you know, you have your door kicked in and a gun pointed at your face and the SWAT team destroying your entire home. It, total anarcho-tyranny, that's one option. Or the other option is Jocelyn Benson spends the rest of her life as cellmates with Ghislaine Maxwell. Like, these are the options that we have. Either we make an example of these scumbags, these civilizational arsonists, these treasonous elements in our own government by punishing them to the full extent of the law for their openly admitted and well-documented crimes, or the criminals just run rampant and that's it for America and we're all on our own. And it's just like civil war at that point. So these are the options. I guess it's up to us. Let's go to your calls now. We've got Nicole in Florida. Nicole, thank you for calling in on the topic of abortion. It's the biggest topic, right? I mean, it's not actually a part of this presidential campaign, but if Trump loses, it will be, because he actually successfully got the first anti-abortion measure put forward and by the federal government in decades. Nicole, thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Harrison. It's so good to talk to you. Hi to the crew, everybody. We love InfoWars. I was just calling because I had some Harris campaign knockers come by my door yesterday, and so I decided to go ahead and talk to them and engage because I just wanted to hear their thoughts on the whole abortion issue with My Body, My Choice.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, my son was injured by a vaccine when he was 4 months old, so we don't do that anymore, and we've learned a lot since then. So I asked them during COVID with My Body, My Choice, where were you then? Because you sure weren't helping us out with the whole My Body, My Choice issue.
Right.
And I told them about my son's vaccine injury, and they get kind of like snarky at first. They're like, well, what happened? And I'm like, well, his intestines folded in on himself and he almost died. And they're like, oh, well, what vaccine was it? And I'm like, okay, I'm telling you, like, this isn't the point. We're talking about My Body, My Choice, and you guys didn't support us then, and we were demonized for it. So how can you sit here and say My Body, My Choice with this whole abortion issue? And you just kind of watch the blood drain out of their body, and they just give you these blank stares, and they don't really know what to say, and they just start talking more about abortion. So the other side of this is, unfortunately, I've also had to have a medical abortion with my daughter. At 16 weeks old, she was diagnosed with trisomy 13 and myasthenia X. It's a rare genetic condition that does cause her to die in utero. Mm. So I did have to have a life-saving medical abortion, and they were telling me that because of Trump's new laws that I wouldn't be able to have this abortion. And I said, absolutely not. You guys do not know what you're talking about. In case of life-saving things like this, it is necessary. And it's not all what you guys are about. And they just, they don't really know what to say. They just kind of stare at you and just keep repeating the same talking lines, which is, you know, par for the course to these people. And, you know, it was just a very interesting interaction. And yeah, that was my experience with it.
Yeah, man, it's so typical. And good for you. I wish Democrats would come on knock on my door. I would love to have a chance to query them on what they believe.
Yeah. And so I started saying, if you guys want to know about more vaccines, you can go to ICANDecide.org. It's a great organization with, I think it's by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Del Bigtree might have put it together. I don't know. I'm huge fans of those. I'm loving the commercials with Alex and Del. Absolutely amazing. But yeah, once I start talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and vaccines, because we were talking about the vaccine issues, the lady just kept saying, well, I support vaccines and everything they've done. And I'm like, do you know the science behind it? And she's like, well, no, I really can't speak to that. And it's like, well, I encourage you to go look at the actual science, because she just kept saying, I believe the science, not knowing any of the science as I'm telling her about the science. It's just, it's mind numbing to me trying to have conversations with these people.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I wish I had some, you know, wisdom about this, but it's just, I mean, you get it. I get it. Like, we all get it. Like, these people are just insane. They don't actually believe anything. They're willing to say these slogans as if they mean something. They're waving signs that say freedom. They don't actually believe it. You know, I mean, they say my body, my choice, but they want you sent to a camp if you don't subject yourself to an experimental and completely ineffective shot. So, you know, it's like, what do you even say? These people are, I mean, they're dumb, but they're voting. Like, what do we do here? What do we do here, Nicole? I mean,
you're asking us to show our papers. Like, how fascist is that? Show us your vaccination. Right? Like, what are you guys talking about? You're the fascist.
I know.
You know, like,
I know.
It's like, I'm like, want to just be like, you guys, like, we love you, but like, you're so dumb.
I know. And that's, I don't want to just call them dumb, but like,
I know, me neither. But it's like, what do you do?
But they are. So like, what do you do? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that, like, you know, the number one talking point on the left is like these dumb Trump supporters. But like in every topic with every single one of these things, they literally know nothing. They know nothing.
Right.
But somehow they've been convinced that by just like repeating the false talking points of their party, they actually are like more enlightened and more intelligent. And I guarantee you're exactly right when you said that. You know, when you said my son was vaccine injured, what's going through their mind is like, this idiot, this stupid moron. Like,
they're so
dismissive.
Yeah.
When you're just like, you know, I lived through this. Like, we were at the hospital for a long time. But, like, they can't even grant you the, you know, humanity of you actually knowing something that actually happened to you. They think they know more than you, even though they have no idea what you're talking about. It's, yeah, exhausting is the right word for it, Nicole. I think you said exhausting. That's right.
Yeah, and yeah, you're completely right about that, because it's like I tell them that my son had a vaccine injury, and it's just like they're like, they don't even think that's a real thing. It's absolutely a real thing. Like, there's millions of people that have, I mean, died from it. You can go see Vax 3.
Yep.
It's a great movie to watch about the COVID vaccine. If you guys haven't seen it, I highly encourage everyone to see it.
Yep. Thank you so much for the call, Nicole. That was a great call, and we stayed on a little longer. I'm gonna try to speed through the phone calls in the next segment, but you know, it's just so illustrative of everything that we're dealing with. And it's like I was talking about last week with the mayor of New York and Anna Kasparian. It's like there's something about these people that, like, one of them will have a kid and they'll be vaccine injured, and then they'll wake up. It's gonna have to happen to them. I don't know why they can't just know, like, why they can't understand this stuff, but like, there's something in their mind that stops them from just realizing the truth until one day something catastrophic happens to them, and then they'll wake up.
Why don't we stop pushing pills on people and start pushing the red pill on people? Because the red pill is the only drug that can cure this mental illness, that can cure things like gender dysphoria, that can cure things like depression, that can cure things like involuntary celibacy, that can cure things like racism, that can cure things like World War III itself. The cure to all diseases, all illnesses, is the red pill. And the best place to get your endless supply of the red pill is band.video, is Infowars.com/show, is following at Real Alex Jones on Infowars, is going to the alexjonesstore.com/VIP and signing up for $30 a month to get $40 a month. Hell, it's not even an expense. It's an investment. Practically, you buy one shirt a month, you keep us on the air. If we had 20,000 people sign up for the alexjonesstore.com/VIP for the Alex Jones VIP club, if we had 20,000 people sign up for that VIP club, Alex Jones would always be on the air, even if he had to refer to himself legally as the broadcaster formerly known as Alex Jones. There's a reason Prince didn't stop making records after his identity was stolen from him. It's because he was so good and he had such a loyal following and fan base that they couldn't shut him down. They couldn't silence him. They couldn't own him because he had enough support. We need you, just like you need us, just like you need the truth. The truth needs you. Please go to the alexjonesstore.com/VIP. If you buy anything or sign up for anything, do that because it is going to be forever.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've got so many quadrillions of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Hey everyone, my name is John. I have been selected this month as the VIP of the month winner. Surprisingly, I received this check for $1,000 in the mail. And it was awesome. It really did surprise me. I had no idea that it was coming, and I wanted to say thank you to everybody at the Alex Jones store. For taking care of us and getting your orders out quickly. Keep up the good fight.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands, you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. We'll go out to your phone calls shortly. Let's talk just very briefly about Peanut the Squirrel. We're one day away. Tomorrow is Election Day. Most consequential election in my lifetime. I genuinely believe that. After all, the movement that has brought us so far on everything. I mean, just think about the world if Donald Trump had never stepped up in 2016. Think about if we had been forced to decide between Jeb Bush and Clinton. And think about all of the tyrannical measures that would have started years earlier. We would have been at war with Russia and Syria. She wanted a no-fly zone there. I mean, we would have been in World War III already years ago. I mean, you cannot imagine. At this point, it's like nationalism is on the rise. Populism is on the rise across the world. They're talking about taking fluoride out of the water. vaccine injuries become a topic of conversation in the mainstream media, the trust of the liars has plummeted appropriately. All of this is because Donald Trump himself got involved. Without him, the movement is significantly weaker. This will be his last election one way or another, whether he wins or not. He's not going to be running again. It's the end of an era, which is one of the reasons why this decision is so important, not even mentioning all of the, you know, actual policies and decisions that will have to be made over the next 4 years. And yet it comes down to abortion, a joke about Puerto Rico, and an executed squirrel. Yeah, the system sucks. The system sucks and is stupid, but it's the system that we have, so we have to win, my God. But it's not about a squirrel, is it? The squirrel is an icon, is a logo, is a mascot for what this really represents, which is anarcho-tyranny, which is that New York, as a state, is completely lawless in some regards. You've got tens of thousands of illegal immigrants selling children on the streets of New York City, living in camps hastily built in parks. I mean, it's just total ridiculous lawlessness. But if you have a pet squirrel without a license, the SWAT team is going to kick your door in and ransack your house. So it's not about the squirrel as much as it is a symbol of the total insanity of modern America. And again, you know, I think it's strangely powerful, this symbol. And I am seeing a lot of people who aren't really interested in politics picking up on this and making it political. And I see so many people going, why when a squirrel is killed by New York, like by the government, like why is the response immediately assumed to be right wing and that right wingers are jumping on this? And it's like, well, because everything bad is from the Democrat. Everything bad and evil is from the Democrats, and you people have no actual morality. You can't actually explain any of your positions on a moral basis. It's all arbitrary to you, and legality is your replacement for morality. So when we see an innocent pet squirrel named Peanut, who's been living with his owner for a long time, he's trained, he's well-behaved, he's better than any dog you can find on the same block, right? When he is picked up and gassed to death by the state, we in the right see this as an absurd overreach of a tyrannical government with inordinate authority and absolutely no checks to their usage of that power. And the leftists see a squirrel that broke the law and deserved it, essentially. That's the response you're getting. Well, but he didn't have a license, though. Well, he didn't have a license for his squirrel, so kill the squirrel. I mean, this is crazy, especially considering the fact that you can get a pit bull without a license. You can get a killing machine that'll kill three people before you can put it down without a license. But a squirrel, well, that's a step too far. But again, it's not even about the squirrel. It's about what the squirrel represents, what the insane overreach of the government represents. This at the same time when murderers and rapists are being let out without even paying cash bail onto the streets to rape and murder again. This is how they're treating somebody with an unlicensed squirrel. Let's go to clip number two here.
The officer opened the back of the toilet to see if I was hiding something in there. That's to find a squirrel. Let somebody come in here and do this to your house and keep it like this. I actually have broken soap bottles on the ground. I have a stain on my ground. This is to find a squirrel. This is to find a squirrel. This is to find a squirrel. You see that? That's that. See that? Do you see this, guys? You see that? You want to tell me that that's acceptable? This is the destruction that these people left in my house. So if you guys want to explain to me how this wouldn't devastate you, I have never been in trouble with the law whatsoever. There's another suitcase that came out of the closet. I don't have anything else to show you guys because the mind-blowing thing is the only places that they destroyed was my room. The only things they destroyed were my room. They raided my house for a squirrel and a raccoon.
So this is the world that we're building. And like, how many times have we seen stories about, you know, murder taking place and the murderer? It's like he's only 34 years old, and yet he has racked up 24 felony charges. Okay, so this guy has been in prison every other month for the last 10 years. And yet every time he's brought in front of a judge, it's this poor man. He's a victim of the system. And you don't do it again, okay? And he's just covered in blood. It's like an ear hanging out of his mouth. He's just like, but I live to kill. And they're like, that's fine. That's fine, you sweetheart. But you get out there and, you know, here's some extra money. We think it's because you don't have enough money. So here's extra money. And also, we're not going to charge you for the shoplifting or the breaking and entering or any of that other, you know, non-crime stuff. So you get out there and you be the best you can be. He's just like stabbing the bailiff while she's saying it. So that's how you treat actual criminals. And you've got a guy who's never had a criminal charge in his life, never been arrested, never gotten a speeding ticket. And they're kicking his door down and putting a gun in his face and dragging he and his girlfriend outside and putting him in handcuffs, ransacking his entire house. Where's the squirrel? Tell us where the squirrel is. So this is anarcho-tyranny. This is madness. And I thought this was put well by Josh Brooks on X. Imagine 10 armed agents of the state walk into your house, detain you and your significant other outside your home, question you like a common criminal, euthanize your pets based on an anonymous complaint after tossing your entire house. Yeah, it's not about the squirrel. It's not about the squirrel. And then you get, you know, after you're abused and assaulted by the state, you go online to learn about how, you know, some serial rapist was let out without bail, only to murder his 12-year-old victim. And it's just like, well, maybe that's what the SWAT team should have been doing instead of assaulting me. So this, you know, again, it's a silly squirrel meme, but it's not. It's about the fate of our country and who we are as a people and what our government spends its our precious time and resources doing. Let's go now out to your calls. Tim in California has called in about some pretty dismal job numbers coming out recently. Go ahead, Tim, you're on the air.
Yeah, but just remember, Bill Gates released untold billions or trillions of the world's deadliest creatures with impunity. You know, mosquitoes, the world's deadliest creatures, kills more things than anything on earth. He's got whole factories and farms that make these things all day long, every day, so they can release them in helicopters. Now we got all kinds of mutation stuff, but anyways, that's not what I called about. But it's just showing you, hey, it gets crazy.
Yeah. He's a philanthropist, yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Helping us all out.
Yeah.
What I called about is Bidenomics. It's working. Okay, Bidenomics, it's working. It's working. Okay, Bidenomics, it's working. Everyone just sober up, because 12,000 jobs divided by 50 states, okay, and that's 1 month in numbers, then you divide that by 30 days, equals eight jobs per day per state. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, man. When I was a kid in Detroit, I remember, man, just tens of thousands of people lined up every day to get into all the jobs that were available. If you could show up with a pair of work boots and ready to go, you got a job.
That's a little different now. Detroit went down a different path after you were a child,
yeah.
Tim. So tell us about it. I saw this headline. It's like the expected numbers were over. You know, they expected 100,000 jobs to be created, and it was 10,000. Yeah. They missed their job. They missed their goal by 90%. They got 1/10 of what they wanted. It's working. But you know, Tim, I'm talking to a lot of like people that are in business or trying to get loans or trying to expand their company, and for the last like month, nobody has gotten investment. Everybody with money is just waiting. They're waiting for the outcome of the election before they put any money anywhere. So the economy is basically stalled out because everybody knows Kamala Harris gets in, your investment's no good. So they're not making any investments so they can be sure that Donald Trump is in office before they actually create jobs in this country. But is that right, Tim? They expected 100,000 and only got about 10,000 jobs created this month.
They thought it was going to be 113 and it turned out to be 12. And by the way, this is before they downgraded. They've downgraded all their numbers. And by the way, we lost 45,000 manufacturing jobs and we lost 15,000 retail jobs. And they don't even want to talk about that. I mean, it's one of these. What's happening is we're moving from recession into stagflation.
Mm.
It's getting worse. And they don't want to talk about that. But if it does happen, they're happy to hand it off to Trump when he wins. It's like,
exactly.
Here you go, buddy.
Exactly.
You enjoy that.
100%. And that's what we're going to talk with Kirk Elliott about, because that's one of their biggest cards they have yet to play, the biggest levers they have yet to pull is let Trump get into office and collapse the economy and blame it on him. It's what they're planning. It's one of the many things they're planning. They've got a lot of plan Bs in place. Plan A, rig the election, get Kamala elected. Plan B, C, D, E, F, and G are all just like civil war, crash the economy, start World War III with Iran, false flag attack. They got a lot of cards left to play. And again, we'll get into the economic designs with Kirk Elliott in the third hour of this show. Thank you for the call, Tim. Brilliant as always. Let's go to Boris in Iowa now. Boris, your state is looking like it's going blue unexpectedly. What do you know, Boris? You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Harris. So my state is traditionally blue during presidential elections, and that's because we have a massive healthcare industry here. I myself am an ambulance driver. My whole family, they're all nurses, and we have a teacher in the family too. But, I mean, they've been targeting our state with specifically advertisements with a nurse in a hospital setting saying, don't vote Trump. He's bad for Iowa, you know, and they're targeting us because we're a healthcare state. We have most hospitals. Iowa City's got the premier hospital for cancer patients treatment, and we have a huge population of retirement homes. So we have nurses everywhere. So it's very much targeting nurses. And my whole family's conservative, and I know of a couple of nursing facilities where they won't be harvesting ballots this year, but that's what they do.
So you think it's that's why they've been messaging so hard in Iowa and why it seems to be, well, and this was a big controversial thing because some people were saying the poll wasn't valid. Other people saying it's devastating, basically, that Iowa's shifted very heavily towards Kamala Harris. People saying that's an abortion issue and women voting way, way outpacing men's voting. You think it also has something to do with the healthcare messaging? It's been hyper-focused.
Yeah. Yes, it does. They hyper-focus healthcare because, like I said, we're a healthcare state. That's our main industry, our main moneymaker. But we also have to think about the fact that they probably are polling the people that work at those same institutions. They know where the Democrats are in the state. If you go down my street, you're going to see Trump signs for days.
Mm.
So, and there's a lot of people who are Democrat that have come up to me like, who should I vote for? I go, well, think about, here's some things. I don't tell them I'm voting for Trump, but I go, here's some ideas. Here's some strong points. They're like, Kamala has none of those things.
Mm.
I'm like, yeah. So, you know, these people, if we're not shouting them down on the street and we're, you know, treating our neighbors with respect and love, and we're talking to them in a way to help them think about the things that they need, they might just stand in that ballot box on election day and go have that turn of conscience and be like, I need to vote for Trump. So that's how we're doing it in the healthcare industry. We're just trying our best to talk to our coworkers in a way that doesn't get us fired.
Right. Right.
And turn hearts and minds.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call, Boris. Yeah. It's extremely interesting. And I don't want to go off on a tangent right now, cause I want to get on into more calls, but you know, they're really pushing this idea that, and they've been pushing it since the debate. I think we've talked about it enough. The idea that, you know, women are dying because they're not being given access to abortion. But the irony of this is that all of the laws passed, every law that I've been able to identify, especially the ones in the states where these deaths are occurring, they very explicitly say, like, well, you know, any procedure is allowed to save the life of the mother, even ones that would otherwise be considered abortions, ectopic pregnancies, those sorts of things. You're allowed to save the mother. Like, there's no issue with that. But the doctors are listening to the Democrats, and the Democrats are telling them, oh, the Republicans are going to throw you in jail if you perform these operations. So when somebody comes in, like the woman in Georgia who took an abortion pill and had an adverse reaction and needed medical attention and didn't get it for like 20 hours because the doctors were not wanting to, they were nervous about operating on her because they thought they'd be arrested, even though there was no reason to think that. The procedure was perfectly legal, but the Democrats are running ads going, doctors will be put in jail for performing this. So it's the Democrat fear-mongering about the laws that has the doctors misinterpreting them and thinking that they're going to get in trouble for performing procedures. So they delay them, and so people die. And so then Democrats point to that and go, ha ha, see, it's because Republicans. But Republicans never made the procedure illegal. The Democrats lie about it and fear-monger and make people think that they can't get the that they can't perform the procedure. So it's, again, just total inversion. I guess we should be used to it by now. Let's go to Aaron in Louisiana. Aaron, thanks for the call, Boris. Aaron, you want to talk about abortion as a single issue as well. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, just an observation about the early voting numbers we're seeing in Louisiana and then something about abortion. So we're seeing a 14-point swing from men to women as far as the early voting. That's 43% men and 57% women. And if you just look at Republican versus Democrat, it would be encouraging. But I would say, you know, we can't assume that these women who are voting registered Republicans are voting Republican. Mm-hmm. I talked to a sheriff's deputy who was working the election, and he said that he's seen more young people, more college-age girls voting than he's ever seen, which is concerning to me because it makes me think that they're getting out there, getting registered to vote because they want to, quote unquote, you know, vote for abortion, which leads me to the next issue, and that is these people who are making this their primary concern for this election cycle. It's not even a concern. I mean, it's the most petty thing because abortion is still legal in a lot of the country. So what they need to realize is that they're not voting for abortion. They're really voting for not having to be bothered to potentially be inconvenienced to drive out of state to kill their baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you can still do it, but you may have to get in a car and take a trip. So it's like, okay, you're willing to hand the keys of the country over to this person who's clearly incompetent, all because you don't want to maybe have to drive out of state.
Yeah, well, you know, if they have to drive 2 hours to get an abortion, I mean, that's you're talking about, you know, practically back in Nazi Germany. I mean, that this is the freedom that they're hungry for, the freedom to not be inconvenienced as they get an abortion. It's not about the abortion anymore. It's about whether it's got a drive-through version or not. No, you're right. You're exactly right, and it's so stupid. It's so stupid that this is what the election hinges on. It's very infuriating. Thank you for the call, Aaron. And again, the election's tomorrow. I don't know what to make of anything. Aaron, I totally believe, and he's telling me that, you know, he's hearing that a lot of young women are voting, but I was seeing a poll today that the early votes are skewing way towards the elderly and the young people are not showing up to vote this year. So everything is contradictory at this point. And I wonder if we'll ever get any clarity or if it'll be a repeat of 2020 where just total lawlessness reigns. Mr. Process in St. Louis wants to talk about election 2024. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Harrison. How are you doing this morning?
Good, thank
you. Yeah, I was, I want to kind of ease everyone's worries about the election going on now because, it's a process and it wouldn't be much of an election if it wasn't a real tight race. You know, it has to be a race, and part of it being a good game and a good competition for virility of a country to have it competitive. So I think overall it's kind of a good thing that more people are getting involved in politics because, you know, back in the day, even just 10, 20 years ago, it wasn't very popular and still isn't super popular and getting more popular because issues like abortion and obviously the prices at the grocery store and wars and everything are kind of pushing the normies into the political realm. So So I think overall this is a good thing for us because we rely on the truth, and as long as we stick to our guns and our common sense policies of normality, I think we're going to be pretty much okay no matter what. What do you think?
Wow, what a white pill for us, Mr. Process. You know,
I try for you.
Look, I was about to say we'll be fine either way, but it's almost like we'll either be fine in either way or we'll be screwed either way. You know, the presidential election, it might change what color our future dystopia is, but we're so very clearly heading in that direction. Again, we've said a million times, Donald Trump's not going to solve everything. It is a beachhead. And the only reason I would sort of pour some water on your parade, Mr. Process, is the fact that I thought the same thing after 2016. I thought, okay, we've been in this situation where the government has acted totally freely and without oversight, essentially, from what is supposed to act as their check, which is the free press. I thought, you know what? One good thing's going to come out of the Trump election. The media is finally going to start, you know, holding the government's feet to the fire. If that's what it takes, great. You know, because George Bush and Barack Obama got to bomb U.S. citizens overseas and got to start wars, got to do all this stuff. The media clapped along with it. And I thought maybe now that Trump is in office, they'll actually start to scrutinize what the government's doing. And in a roundabout way, the media will actually fulfill its role that's supposed to fulfill. How foolish of me, right? How foolish of me, because, of course, they just make everything worse and double down on their insanity. So I don't know. I sort of had a similar feeling after 2016, but I think it really just it just ramps up both sides, and the leftists get even more insane, and the right wingers have to go even harder against them. But I do think you're right in that in the general arc of history, we're on the right side and that things are moving towards us, and that the more revelation happens, right? It's a snowball effect, that the more people know about the truth, the more they talk about it, and the more people that talk about it, the more people hear about it, the more people wake up. And so we're on the right trajectory overall. You know, it's like watching a stock market, and it's like overall, if you zoom out to the year over year, it's a very clear upward trajectory. But if you zoom in to a month by month or even a year by year, you know, or day by day basis, there's a lot of ups and downs in whether the awakening is on or not. But I do think we're in the general right direction. The tide is shifting. The tide is turning. Populism is awakening. Just depends on whether they can slam that jail door shut in time to keep us in, or whether we can recognize what they're trying to do and escape before they throw the bar down. We're going to take more of your calls on the other side. In the second half of the next hour, we'll be joined by Kirk Elliott, and we'll talk about the potentiality of depression and economic warfare against Trump once he's in office. But more phone calls on the other side. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. Support us, because this may be, you know, the 2024 election coverage, but it's also the last full week InfoWars may be on the air. God willing, we'll continue, but we're setting up alternatives in the process. In the meantime, stay with us, thealexjonesstore.com.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid. The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the f*** out of here!
Your best friend.
I get that camera out of my face!
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
it doesn't happen to you.
Land of the Dead!
Revit.
White males.